Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries or basketball questions. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. Check out the other podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tough loss for the Bears tonight. So Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush has the inside scoop on that. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, the preseason is finally over.
Dwayne Wade, the most remarkable preseason effort. You never saw 42 first half points for the Bulls.
Only in the first half. He only played the first half. It was crazy.
Fred Hoiberg, two technical fouls in the first 8 minutes of the game after he had to run out onto the court last year and run over a ref just to get his first one. Finally goes off in a fit of fury.
Paul Zipser plays the whole second half and hits 9 3-pointers.
And none of that happened.
But
it might have happened and you probably wouldn't have known because were watching the Cubs and the Bears.
How long do you think we could go with this? We could just do a whole episode of just like making up stuff that didn't happen in this preseason game and nobody would know the difference because, like.
I don't know where the tipping point there is on what we could say that they wouldn't believe, but. I mean, 42 points for Dwayne Wade's a little much in the first half, maybe. Fred getting a couple tees might be believable.
Rajon Rondo and Dennis Schroeder got into a fist fight.
Ooh, I don't think that would completely surprise
me.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. We didn't even drop that one on you. But in all seriousness, the Bulls did lose their seventh and final preseason game, 97-81 to the Atlanta Hawks in Omaha, Nebraska. Homecoming of sorts for Creighton Products, Doug McDermott of the Bulls, Kyle Korver of the Hawks.
And they got a post-game joint press conference afterwards to make sure that everybody knew why they scheduled the game there.
And to make sure everyone knows that preseason needs to be done. They put players from opposing teams.
I'm sorry, dude. Cody, this is too much. Like, I can't do this. Like,
thank God the regular season's almost upon us. A week away, the Bulls will host the Boston Celtics because preseason needed to be done when they're doing that. And when the Bulls... It's kind of funny that the Bulls couldn't shoot against the Hawks at all. 4 of 22 from three-point range. I know, that's shocking. You'll never believe it, but that's what happened in this preseason games. A couple of the players were insinuating to Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune reporter who was there that the rims were tight. Fred Hoiberg was making mention of that. I don't know if I'm buying that or if I'm just buying the Bulls stink at shooting, Sean.
We've been talking all summer, ever since they signed who they signed, that the three-point shooting is just not going to be a strength of theirs, and it's just, you know, yeah, I'm not surprised. And by the way, the Rondo thing, like, can we talk about how bad Rondo's three-point shooting is? Like, not just his percentages, but the way his shot looks, like, he's been shooting air balls from three, it's been ugly.
It was really ugly, and we'll be in the effort of honesty, we had the Bulls game on the small television at Sean's. We had the Cubs game on the big television. So our attention span was split 50-50.
That's very generous.
Maybe 60-40 on the Cubs is probably the truth of the matter. But I have to admit, every time I did glance over there at the Bulls game, Rajon Rondo was not shooting well. He had a bad shooting game the other night, too. And, yeah, his jump shot just looks a little broke. I think it might have always been broken, but...
Well, remember a couple of years ago when he got traded to Dallas, there was that whole story about how he was working with Holger, the German shot doctor.
Oh, of Dirk.
That fixed Dirk Nowitzki's shot, or has made Dirk such a great shooter. There was a whole week of stories from all the beat writers about how Rondo was working with Dirk's shot doctor, and now he's going to become a good shooter.
Yeah, you know what I thought with Rondo, though, early in the preseason? I thought he's done a really good job at getting to the hoop. Like, those first three or four games, it didn't feel like to you, and I know the numbers backed up, I think he had an 18 or 20-point game not too long ago, that he was getting to the rim and getting layups and kind of contorting and twisting around people. And then almost it's like at other times, and from what I kind of saw from this Hawks game and the past couple preseason games, too, I mean, teams are sagging off of him a lot more, and they don't really care if he's unguarded 15, 13 feet from the hoop. And it's like seven preseason games in, teams are already making adjustments. I'm sure they'll do that throughout the regular season when they ramp up the advanced scouting reports a little more. And it's not a secret, obviously, in the NBA that he's not a good shooter. But that's going to be a challenge for Rondo, Butler, Wade, and Fred Hoiberg to figure out how to make kind of all those gymnastics work there within the offense of how they want to run it and everything. But all the Bulls shot bad in this game, pretty much. Dwayne Wade was 3 of 14. Jimmy Butler, 5 of 16. Not a lot to take away from the final preseason game, other than we should point out Spencer Dinwiddie, buried on the depth chart. Jaren Grant, kind of buried on the depth chart with the debut of Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah, and I thought he looked pretty good. He didn't shoot well, obviously, because that's, you knew he wasn't going to shoot well. But I thought he did a pretty good job from what I saw of just getting guys set up, running the offense pretty well. He said after the game to Casey Johnson that he was a little bit nervous because he didn't know the plays yet, but I thought he looked fine. And you know, he's a high IQ guy. I think he's going to get more comfortable.
I don't need him to know the plays. Just play defense, get some steals, make a couple plays with the ball in your hands. Like, I can't imagine all these great plays the Bulls are going to run are going to work exactly to script anyway, because like these plays need to have plan B or C for when the defense really, really, really sags in and you have to make something else of it. So I'm okay if Michael Carter-Williams doesn't know all the plays yet. Just go out there and hoop. Like, that's what the Bulls need. Another guy who is athletic. And again, like you pointed out, he looked fine. But it's interesting. He has kind of already, I mean, we were talking about the Bulls rotation on the last podcast, I believe. And we were kind of saying a 9-man rotation, including him. And we didn't have Dinwiddie or Grant in that. And I think this game probably reinforced it.
Right, I mean, you have to keep in mind that Nikola Mirotic, who we know is going to be in the rotation once he gets healthy, because he's a guy that the Bulls coaching staff still believes in, he wasn't there tonight because he had that back injury, he was getting treatment. With him out of the rotation, Jaren Grant, I know they play different positions, but just in terms of like the minutes to be divided up and you know how many guys can get in and play significant minutes, with one of their nine guys that we think is going to be in the rotation not in, Dinwiddie and Grant still could get in.
Yeah, so that's a good point. That's very telling. And Denzel Valentine didn't play, and we think he's a guy that's probably right on the border of being in that rotation, on the fringe, depending how quickly he comes along. Hoiberg has indicated that if he's healthy and ready to go, as he deals with an ankle injury himself, if he is good to go for the regular season opener, he's not going to be afraid to put him out there because of a lack of practice time or a lack of game minutes with the rest of the Bulls. And that's probably the right approach because these young guys just need to play, probably. I mean, he's not going to go out there and play 30 minutes in the opener against the Celtics, but if they want to get him out there 8-10 minutes, I could see that.
Right. But we also, since the draft, we've heard about how high of an IQ player Denzel is, and so I think they're pretty confident that if they want to just throw him out there, he'll know what to do. And I know that in that first game against the Bucks that he did play in before he got injured, he looked like he had a pretty good feel for the game. He looked like he was up to speed already. It wasn't really too much of an adjustment for him to adjust from the speed of a college game to the NBA game. So I think he'll be fine once he gets back in there.
You just referenced IQ. How much does basketball IQ matter if there's not space on the court to take advantage of your talents and bright basketball mind? Because to me, when people talk basketball IQ, obviously it's all over the court, both ends, but a lot of times it manifests itself offensively, it seems like.
It's like making smart passes.
Smart passes, seeing the game. But I mean, if those defenses just sag, like that mitigates one of the Bulls' big calling cards on this season about having smart basketball players, which I agree with, right? Rajon Rondo is a brilliant basketball mind, and Dwayne Wade, I think, is very much the same way. Jimmy Butler, he's a smart player in my mind. I mean, he's a guy who knows how to get to the hoop, make good decisions. You don't see Jimmy shooting a lot of bad shots. Like, he doesn't see the floor like Magic Johnson by any means, but he makes good basketball decisions generally.
Somebody on Twitter pointed out, because we had a discussion yesterday because of a listener question, that about what Jimmy's good offensive skills are outside of drawing contact, and somebody on Twitter pointed out,
We left one out,
which is that Jimmy just really, considering what his usage rate is, he doesn't turn the ball over that much, which is a skill.
Yeah, it is. It's a reflection of how you approach the game and how you think the game more than anything. And like we said, too, Fred Hoiberg's a bright basketball mind as well, but he doesn't have the personnel to fit it. He's not getting the spaces for his sets that he wants. those plays he wants to run to get Doug McDermott wide open for three, or get Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler in advantageous situations. Probably aren't going to be quite as advantageous when there's a big man looming just 2 feet around the shoulder of the perimeter defender that's in your face. You know what I'm saying? So, again, we never read too much into the preseason, because you don't want to say, hey, if this holds up in the preseason, this is going to happen. Because guess what? That's not going to happen. That's
Wade,
not how the
Wade shot
season
over 40% from three. And by the way, we should
43
point out,
or something.
By the way, we should point out, he hit 7 3-pointers over the course of the preseason. He hit 7 3-pointers all of last season.
Don't we get credit for this? And by we, I mean the media, because we asked him like every day at his, from his opening press conference, like every time he's been available to the media, we've made some reference about the spacing, the 3-point shooting, how the offense is going to work. And the, again, we get a kick out of this, just how much conviction the Bulls have in not caring about 3-point shooting, at least publicly. I do think internally, the bright basketball minds know that it's going to be a bit of a bigger challenge to make this offense work. And again, I don't think offense is even going to be the Bulls' biggest problem. I think it's probably going to be defense, if the second unit for sure is going to struggle, I think. And it depends on how engaged Wade, Butler, and Rondo are on the perimeter. We know Taj Gibson and Robin Lopez are pretty good defenders. But there's problems on both sides of the floor. But just saying, like, this basketball IQ, the spacing, all the things, maybe we should take credit for Dwayne Wade's 3-point shooting going up, just because he wants to prove us wrong.
Now, I predict, as far as the Dwayne Wade 3-point shooting, I think he's going to shoot pretty well from three, like maybe 36, 37, 38%. For
bold
the first,
prediction.
Like, not a bold prediction. He's going to do that for like the first 2 months of the season. And it's going to rewrite the narrative, oh, Dwayne Wade's a three-point shooter now. And then by the middle of the season, he's just going to go right back to shooting 25% again.
So, of course, we read Ethan Sherwood Strauss's ESPN.com, I think ESPN the magazine article, on kind of the budding tension in Golden State between Draymond Green and the Warriors organization,
right,
specifically.
Which is a fantastic piece. You should read it if you have.
But it's kind of the reverse. So you're saying, like, Draymond was shooting really well on threes last year. Steve Kerr came back from his spinal fluid leak and to coach the team again, and had Draymond kind of scale back on shooting threes, mess Draymond's mind up a little bit. Is Fred going to give Dwayne Wade the green light to shoot threes all he wants all season? Or will there be a point when this doesn't work in which the Bulls rethink some of this calculus?
I don't think Fred is going to be the one making the decision. I think what it's going to be is, like, Wade is going to go right back to, he's going to go hard at this for 2 months because he wants to prove people wrong, and then he's going to just, you know, because he's old and he wants to manage his body.
He's savvy enough.
He knows he's just going to go back to playing the way he always played after like 2 months of the season. And then if the Bulls were to make the playoffs, maybe he starts shooting threes again.
Yeah, I can see like Dwayne Wade sending a snap out, like himself looking in the mirror and being like, bro, you got to stop shooting threes and go to the hoop. Like, I think that's how it's going to happen. Something like that. That's how Dwayne
with
Wade
will do. With the dog face filter that he and Gabby use a lot.
As his dog in the background rolls down the mountain or whatever, the hill they live on somewhere in Chicago.
Did he put the 3-point shooting thing on their vision board? Because they were making vision boards the other day on Snapchat.
I did not see this at
the
all.
Whole, as a family activity, the two boys and Wade and Gabby were all making vision boards for themselves with their goals. I didn't see what was on them, but that was a family activity.
You gotta get to the bottom of that. But yeah, Dwayne Wade, his Snapchat's a treasure. His accountability so far and just the vibe he's brought to Chicago and the Bulls has been good.
It's been night and day.
I think that's the biggest thing that stands out in the preseason to me. Like, again, I don't know if everyone on the Bulls has bought in to whatever they're going to do this season. I don't know that this is going to work. But I do know that they just went through the preseason without catastrophe, so that's good. They didn't make headlines really for the wrong reasons in any regard. I think they're buying in. They like
Wayne
Wade.
Even the couple of injuries they had are not really too, like, it's not like they had like a Jimmy Butler injury that kept him out some of camp, or like somebody who's going to be in the starting lineup. I mean,
Wade and Rondo a little bit.
Right, the Mirotic thing isn't ideal, but, I mean, he wasn't going to be the starter at this point anyway, and Denzel Valentine is a rookie who probably wasn't going to play much. So as far as, like, injuries you could have had in camp, you know, as compared to last year when the first day of camp, Derrick Rose has a broken face and misses most of camp.
Yeah, all in all, so I'd say, I mean, it was a good training camp for the Bulls in that regard, and the 3-4 preseason record really doesn't matter much at all. But
So were you here? You got here in January of 2014, right?
You are correct.
So you weren't here for the preseason of the 2013-14 season.
What happened then?
They went 8-0 in that preseason, and Tom Thibodeau was very, very proud of them going 8-0 in the preseason. Like, he was talking about, like, we were undefeated in the preseason.
I bet it's hilarious to go back and read those quotes. Like, well, it was Denzel Valentine that said of the Bulls Summer League title,
yes,
the only people who the Summer League title doesn't matter to is people who haven't won the Summer League title or something like that.
Yeah, it was great.
It was just a terrific quote. So, wins are good, but we're not going to overreact. Either way, I think the only other big, the biggest storyline probably of the preseason, basketball speaking, on the floor is that Nico Mirotic, by all indications, barring something outrageous in the next 7 days, will be coming off the bench. The starting power forward spot is going to go to Taj Gibson. Again, Fred Hoiberg hasn't formally announced this, but that's probably coming this weekend or Monday or something.
He said that they have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do. And if you just look at... Nico had that one good preseason game against Indiana like a week ago.
Yeah.
And since, other than that, he's been awful. And then he had the back injury. And after he had the back injury, Fred said, yeah, you know, we have a pretty good idea of who we're going to start. So I would be absolutely stunned if Taj Gibson was not the starting power forward on opening night.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they roll with that, too, because that helps the defense, hurts the offense. We'll see how the spacing goes. We'll really lock in once the regular season.
Yeah, like if it sounds like we've been not like being, you know, going super in depth on these preseason games in terms of like the game breakdowns and analysis, it's because they're preseason games and they literally don't matter at all. Once the regular season starts, like, we're gonna actually have takes.
Yeah, I actually had to tell Sean, we actually have been cutting, you know, 6 to 8 minutes off the end of every podcast. He just wanted to talk Paul Zipser basketball. We had to cut that off.
I got the like breakdown of the Spencer Dinwiddie, Cristiano Felicio pick and roll game in garbage time.
Yep, certainly. So we expect the Bulls to be off on Friday. They should be back to practice at the Advocate Center on Saturday, probably Sunday too, and next week leading into the season opener at the United Center next Thursday against the Boston Celtics. For you Bears fans, there will be no Bears next Thursday like there was tonight. For you Cubs fans, the World Series is not being contested that night, barring some sort of weird weather rainout or something.
Right.
So you'll have all eyes, all focus on the Bulls to open up the new NBA season. We're looking forward to it. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls. You can follow Sean, @Hyken, myself, @CodyWesterlin, and email us @LockedOnBulls@gmail.com, and most of all, subscribe.
Yeah, you can get us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Subscribe to The Athletic to read my work covering the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work, and we will be back with you guys next week.